ordinary and extraordinary people who are dedicated to creating positive change in our everyday lives. These are the Generosity Philosophy Heroes.
Welcome, everybody, to Generosity Philosophy. This is Kim Trumbo, and you are listening to episode number 3. Thank you, Tina, for this interview. Let's get into it. The guest today for the podcast is Tina Crow, and thank you, Tina, so much for allowing me to come out to Green Acres Farm Sanctuary as we are recording this. I don't know, how warm would you say it is?
50?
Oh, I was being optimistic. I thought it was more like 60.
Okay. Well,
but nevertheless, yeah, the sun is shining. It's a beautiful day. And you just took me on a tour of the farm. How many acres?
It's 28 acres.
28 acres. And it's beautiful. And for those people listening and they say, the Green Acres what? What is this podcast about? Tina's going to tell us about what exactly is the Green Acres Farm Sanctuary.
So Green Acres Farm Sanctuary is located in Silverton, Oregon. We take in abused, abandoned, and unwanted farm animals. And we also run a foster program with Safe Haven Humane Society, a no-kill shelter in Albany, Oregon. And so we will foster puppies and kittens for them as well.
Awesome. And I got to meet some of those puppies and kittens, and they are adorable. Can you tell the listening audience how many puppies and kittens that through you guys fostering them have been adopted in the last year? Do you know the number?
Yeah, to this date, we're in the end of October, I guess. We have fostered 63 kittens and puppies and some adult dogs, and they have all been adopted out.
Great.
We currently have 5 puppies and 2 kittens that will soon be up for adoption as well.
Awesome. So, in addition to puppies and kittens, which of course aren't, sometimes maybe people would consider them farm animals, but when I think of farm, I think of a cow or a horse or a sheep,
yes,
or a goat.
Yes, yes.
So how... I don't know how you would know this, but I guess if you live here and you do this every day, you probably do know the numbers. How many and what kinds of animals do you have out here?
We currently are home to 111
wow.
different animals.
Wow.
They range from, we have horses, we have a donkey, we have a hinny, which is kind of an unusual one people haven't always heard of. It's kind of the opposite makeup as a mule, so her mom was a donkey and her dad was a horse, and so she's kind of a rare one.
She's unique.
She is very unique. Yes. We have goats, sheep, chickens, a lot of chickens, roosters,
2 turkeys.
I
fed the turkeys.
Yeah. Ducks and 1 goose.
Yes. Can you tell a story about that goose real quick? Because I thought it was an interesting one. And I, for those of you listening, maybe like me, you would see a goose in a pen that has no top, and you'd think, well, why can't it just fly away? And Tina was able to explain to me why that is, and in particular, what's unique about this goose and how you guys ended up with it.
Well, this goose, at some point in its life, was injured. People brought him to us, didn't even realize that he was actually injured. He can't straighten his neck out completely. It doesn't have cause any problems for him. He can eat and drink and get along just fine. But he was ran off by the other geese, and we think because of that kind of difference of him.
Mm-hmm.
And so he bonded with a rooster. And so when the people could no longer keep the animals, they were unable to find a safe home for both of them together. And so we took him in. So we got both the rooster and the goose together, and they're kind of buddies and hanging out with a flock of hens as well. But because they can't fly, the reason is both geese that are domesticated and ducks that are domesticated, they've sort of lost that instinct ability to be able to fly, so they're unable to fly. They also generally weigh a lot more than the ducks you'll see in the wild,
right?
Partly as to why they can't fly. But They usually come from a long line of birds that have come from hatcheries. So they have never even known their mother. They're usually, they're incubated in, you know, big rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Machines turn the eggs just like the mothers would in a nest. And then they're hatched out and usually shipped to stores, feed stores in different places when they're, you know, within 24 hours of their birth. So they've never known that or learned that ability to fly and how to cope in the wild. So many of our ducks are ones that were abandoned by people. They may have got them at the feed store, thought they were cute and adorable, and eventually figured out, wow, these ducks can really kind of make a mess and
right.
move around and like to get wet and get muddy. And so they no longer want them, and they think they're doing good by setting them loose in some body of water, which isn't the case. They generally then seek out the first group of people they can find, because that's where they know to get their food.
Mm.
And they also can bring disease into wild birds, and they're usually the first to get picked off, so they don't usually last very long when they are dumped. So we get a lot of calls about dumped ducks.
Yeah. And you also mentioned that about some of the sheep too, that they're just left abandoned on somebody's property, and you'll get a call.
Yeah,
to go.
We do, and that's one of the ways we get some of our animals. Is we will get calls from the public about animals that have been abandoned. Three of our sheep were some tenants were renting property. They had actually more sheep than that. They left the property, and they left the sheep behind. And the numbers of sheep actually grew as they were breeding with no one controlling anything. And then the numbers started dying down as the predators came, the coyotes came.
What's the other way, I guess, that you end up with any of your animals? I know you had talked about the puppies had come up from California, did you say?
Yeah, a lot of our puppies, they originally start down in Southern California. There's a group called START. And their main mission is to pull dogs and puppies from high kill shelters down in Southern California and then transport them to no kill shelters in both Oregon and Washington. And so Safe Haven Humane Society that we work with gets a lot of those transports in. So we will take in the puppies. And mama dogs, usually the bigger breeds with the bigger litter of puppies, you know,
mm-hmm.
not everyone can foster, you know, last litter we had were 9 puppies.
Wow.
You know, and so it can be a lot. So being that we're a farm, we have a little more room. So we'll get a lot of litters, the larger litters. But that's fostering is one of the really important ways that people can help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not everyone can have a farm sanctuary, of course.
Right.
So, helping, you know, local humane societies and rescues with even dogs and cats is a really fulfilling thing to do. They can help more animals if they're able to foster the younger ones out until they can get into the shelter environment.
Why is it you think there's not more foster homes? I have my theory, and that is just because I'm a softie for animals. I think to myself, oh, well, if people bring in 2 cute puppies and they fall in love with them, then they can't get rid of them, and then they're 2 big dogs, and now they don't have the space or time or availability to then foster, so there goes one potential foster home.
That does happen. If you foster long enough, you end up adopting for sure.
Yeah.
You kind of just have to go in the mindset that you are helping, you're doing a great service to this animal for
mm-hmm.
even for the short amount of time you have it. You know, a lot of times those animals wouldn't be alive if there wasn't the foster home, because, you know, other shelters that don't even have a foster program, you know, it's very common especially in kill shelters in populated areas that kittens are euthanized, puppies are euthanized, pregnant dogs, pregnant cats are euthanized, you know. So if you kind of go into it knowing that you're going to give it up, but that you're doing a really good service and helping
right.
that animal for that, you know, short amount of time, up to usually 8 weeks. It can be shorter depending on what age it is when you get them. It's a really meaningful thing to do, and
right.
you feel really good about it. So.
So I'm sure you feel really good about everything you do here as I look around. I asked you this, I know, already when we walked on the tour, but can you tell everyone how long the sanctuary has been up and running in terms of it being a nonprofit?
So we are fairly new, I would say. We have been a nonprofit and a 501c3 for a little over 2 years now. So, and we just keep plugging away at it. You know, it's been a big learning experience over these 2 years. And, you know, we have big ideas about expanding it. Even though we're on 28 acres, we're not using it all yet. It's expensive to put fencing up, to build structures and things like that. So as we can raise funds and money, we will keep expanding out and keep growing and growing.
I don't know if the microphone's picking it up, but somebody's building something as we speak. Is that your guys' property?
Yeah. So that's...
What are they working on now?
Excited. That's another barn out there. It's going to be another sheep and goat barn, and then maybe eventually something else, depending what comes our way. But for 2 years now, we've had a couple different people do some fundraisers, and it was a project that we've been wanting to do. We were able last year to fence in another pasture out there where they're building this new barn. So this year we were able to get enough extra funds that we could actually build the building. So
that's awesome.
So yeah, we have another one.
Go ahead, sorry.
I was going to say this our property originated with one large old barn from the 20s that we had to do a lot of work to, but yeah, it's a beautiful old barn. And then there was a metal shop. So all the other buildings out here, which are a horse barn, a donkey and henny barn, three isolation buildings, another chicken coop, a couple more chicken coops. Those were all things that we have added on as we can get funds.
Can you explain the isolation coop when you say that? I don't know. When I hear it versus when I see it, it's like two different.
It's a nice place.
It's a nice isolation area.
The barns themselves are roughly about 10 by 10. Mm-hmm. And then there's a small little field with each of them. Mm-hmm. But they are, right, currently one of them is filled with 25 hens that we recently got that were part of a bigger rescue of 3,000 hens from a battery cage egg farm down in California. And so, because those birds are new to here, we wanted to put them in their own separate place. Didn't want to just introduce them to all our other birds. So that's part of what the isolation areas are. So if we get a goat or a sheep, someone new, we want to put them in their own separate area so that we can have the vet look at them, you know, check and see if they have any parasites, need any worming, any shots, anything like that, and keep them away from the general herd until we know that their health is good.
Right.
And then plus the isolations are near the other herd, so the other animals can see them and sort of know that they're there, and everyone sort of gets a feel that there's a new person, you know, on the farm, a new animal on the farm, I should say.
Right.
And then also they can be used if one of our animals, you know, gets hurt or injured, sick or something, we can then pull them out if they need an area to either to be isolated because they have something that could be contagious, or if they just need to rest away from the other animals so the others won't bother them.
They seem to all live in harmony, though. I mean, as you and I were walking around, Punky and what's the other kitty's name?
Well, there's a couple. There's Lucky and Punky.
Lucky, okay. They were following us around, and I was asking, are they allowed to be in there with the ducks and chickens? And everyone seems to get along.
Yeah, there's a couple other cats you're not seeing that are kind of farm and barn cats. They will go and eat right next to the chickens and the ducks. We haven't problem. They all seem to get along and know that this is a safe place for all of them. So
with hearing the banging, my first thought is, I wonder how many people are over there helping. If somebody couldn't financially help contribute to Green Acres Farm Sanctuary, Tina, could they get on your website, get on your Facebook page, get on the phone and call you and say, hey, I am in construction, or I have a lot of experience doing carpentry, and they said, I want to come and help out. Is that something you guys welcome?
Oh, yeah.
I know, maybe seems like a stupid question. I'm like, yeah, bring them on. But
yeah. So there's a couple ways. And we have work parties, and those are every other Saturday. Those dates are always listed on both our Facebook page and our website. And those are, it's 2 hours on a Saturday. People come and clean out the barn, fix fences, brush horses, socialize with puppies, whatever needs to get done. And then another way, if you do have skilled labor, if you're a contractor, a plumber, electrician, anything, any field that really would work for a farm, we're always happy to have people lend those, you know, skills. Their business can come out and do something, they personally can. And then because we are a 501c3 nonprofit, they sometimes in cases can get a tax receipt for their in-kind donation of time, labor, and materials.
Gotcha.
So we're always looking for help that way. And then people can also help by making a fundraiser. You know, they don't have to use the money themselves, but if they have a business and want to put a donation jar up, that's a great way to help out. Sometimes people, instead of, in lieu of gifts at a birthday party, they'll want people to donate to a group, and we're always happy to
be the beneficiary of that. Why not?
We actually had a special work party for a few people because the woman's sister, instead of gifts, wanted everyone to donate their time to an organization. And so some of the family members chose to come to Green Acres and volunteer. So we're always happy, not only our regularly scheduled work parties, we're also happy to arrange special ones for people. If their business wants to come out, you know, if you have a group of friends that want to do a special one just on your own, we're always happy to have the help.
That's great. Is there, if somebody wanted to bring their 9-10-year-old son or daughter or niece, nephew, can our kids welcome to also come and help out during those work parties that you talked about?
Yeah. As long as they're with an adult, their parent. As young as 7. A little younger, we can make exceptions as long as the parents are with them. But yeah, we're always happy to have kids out. We actually, at the end of last school year, had the kindergarten class from down the road came out, and they actually wanted to do a little work party. So they all washed donated vegetables we had, and then went around with their buckets and wheelbarrows, and we passed them out to the animals. So
we're always
happy to have kids involved out here, whether it's through humane education, giving them a tour, having them do their own work party with their class, or coming out with their parents.
That's great. That's a great idea. I'm sure they love it. I mean, especially if the weather's anything like this, to come out and not be in school. I mean, they're still getting an education, but also a great experience.
Yes. Yes.
I know my little one, when I tell her and show her the picture of me holding the little kitten, is going to say, "What? I want to go out." But we'll have to do that on Saturday. So, Tina, thank you so much for sharing all the information you have so far. One of the questions that I think is important for people, whether it's a nonprofit or doing some type of fundraiser for a cause, regardless of what it is, generally they're inspired and they have a vision and there's a reason why they started it. So for you, with Green Acres Farm Sanctuary, what's your why? Why is it you started this?
Because I love animals is the quick answer. I've always loved animals. Always, this was a long-term dream of ours, me and my husband. We are glad to be able to provide a safe place for animals who maybe didn't have that opportunity before they came here, and to maybe educate people on how animals are raised in this country for food, the conditions they live in, and that really doesn't need to happen.
Right.
We run as a vegan organization for ourselves. So if we have events, they're going to be vegan.
Right.
But we are open to everybody coming out, and we want everybody to come out.
Now I'm just thinking to myself, oh, I shouldn't have mentioned that I ate a cheeseburger earlier.
Well, you know, but we want everybody to come out. We don't have to be, and don't feel that you will be pressured when you come out. We want you to just have that interaction with the animals and maybe see them on a different level and learn things about them that you wouldn't have known.
Right.
You know?
Like, for example, what I learned today, well, I learned a lot of things, so thank you for educating me. But when you talked about these, I want to call them the right things. Are they hens or are they chickens?
Okay, chicken is both.
Is broad.
Is both a rooster or a hen is a chicken.
Okay.
So, but the female is a hen.
Okay.
So, yes, these are hens.
So these ones, they're white with the red combs, you call it, right?
Mm-hmm.
The little red flap on top of the head looks kind of like a mohawk for people who can't see them but are just listening. And I was asking you about their comb, Tina, and you'd mentioned that they were, before being rescued, in confined in cages that were a size, I think you described it as a size of a piece of paper.
Yeah. They have
and
more
so their comb, if you guys can envision like a mohawk on a chicken, is instead of being a little bit more upright, on many of these chickens and hens, they're flopped over because of the size of the cage. And when you said that really made an impact on me. I'm not trying to be super emotional, but I thought to myself, wow, that's really sad that there are people that do that to animals. And I wouldn't have, I mean, I've seen pictures and things like that on the internet, but it's different to see a photo and then see an animal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's
well,
a difference.
Those photos you've seen, I mean, those were the conditions. You know, if you've seen the
right,
cages
the stacked
up really high. Yeah, those were the conditions that they were living in before they got rescued. And this was a farm that had many thousands more.
Yeah.
And the group was only able to rescue 3,000. So the other hens at 2 years old, even though they can live up to 10 years and beyond chickens can, at 2 years old, their production had slowed down so much that they were no longer profitable for the farm. So they were being gassed, pulled out, put into garbage cans, and then gassed, and then thrown into the landfill is what their end would have been if they hadn't been rescued, and what the other hens that were at the place, what did happen to them.
Well, even if it was only 3,000 of them, though, at least, you know, those 3,000 were able to to be freed. And I just smile and as I see them walking around and able to strut their stuff versus being, you know, crammed in a cage. Now, this one's out. Is this one supposed to be out moving around?
Okay. He is a rooster.
Okay.
Yeah. And he's a nice rooster, and he's managed to figure out how to get underneath where he stays. Luckily, he can't get in with anyone else, but so he'll just kind of walk around.
So you've been doing this for a couple years now. Well, you've probably lived out here, and it was a dream, and you were probably doing some of it prior to that, whether it was considered a nonprofit or not. What can you think of maybe one of your favorite experiences or memories with being out here and doing this for the animals? You have a funny story or anything like that? I'm sure you have a lot of funny stories, but...
Yeah, they can... The animals can be quite characters, for sure. You know, one of them... You know, sometimes we're never sure how the animal's going to end up being out here. A couple of them... We have a goat named Houdini. The guy named him Houdini because he was an escape artist. The guy bought him and two other goats, particularly just to clear his fields. After Houdini did his job, he was the only goat still alive. The other two died. And the guy didn't want him anymore. And it took five of us to catch him. The guy wanted to tie him up just in the back of our pickup truck. And we said, oh no, he's going, you know, behind our seats in the truck. He's not going to just be flopping around out in the bed. And the guy thought we were insane. He's like, oh my God, he's going to break your glass. You're never going to get him home. And we were a little concerned. It was about an hour drive. We were a little concerned. We're like, gosh, he's never even been around people. He doesn't really know what have we gotten into. And he was perfectly fine. He didn't try to cause any problems. He came here. He's a pretty friendly goat. He'll try to herd you around a little. But he was one that we were a little unsure because he'd never been around people, kind of how he would take to this environment. Another one is the three-legged goat we have. We were a little concerned how he might fit in because he's our most recent goat.
What's his name?
His name's Puddle.
Okay, Puddle.
And we knew he only had three legs. We were concerned maybe he might get picked on, especially by Houdini or someone else.
Is that Houdini right there? He's wrestling around.
No, that's Birdie.
Okay. Which one's Houdini?
Houdini's laying down right now. He's just kind of chill. You can't quite see him from here.
Oh, okay. I'll have to snap a picture of him for people listening who can't quite see.
Yeah, Houdini's a character.
So.
But Puddle, we are a little concerned how he would fit in with only three legs. You know, he had been tethered up for most of his life, away from the other goats. So we weren't really sure how he would deal with it. He was in ISO for a while, and once he was out of there and we brought him in with the rest of the herd, he fits right in. He can get around great on his three legs, you know?
I thought he had four when he was walking up to me and just had a little bit of a limp, but then I noticed that he's missing his one of his rear legs.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's getting along just fine.
So they always, they you know, sometimes surprise us. We never quite sure what situation they've come from. Some of our sheep are really shy, and it has taken them quite a while, but now they'll just come up to me and kind of nudge on me, and I'll be like, wow, you know, I'll be a little surprised sometimes, you know. I'm like, wow, you guys are finally starting to trust,
right?
Again, and that's always nice when we see ones that we know have come from a hard situation. The sheep in particular, from, you know, watching the rest of their flock kind of get picked off by coyotes, and, you know, sort of that terror of being the last ones, you know, left. It has taken them a while to kind of warm up. But when they come up and just kind of nudge you,
yeah,
you feel good. Yeah.
They weren't shy when we went in there into that area. In fact, one of them startled me a little bit. I flinched. I don't remember if it was a sheep or a goat, but it came up to me and, oh, yeah, hey, buddy.
Yeah, all our goats will come right up to you. Yeah, that's for sure.
Well, as we wrap this up, Tina, I'm sure you have a really busy day ahead of you. I got a couple more questions. One is, when I say that phrase, busy day, that probably doesn't quite even describe how busy you probably are. So what time do you wake up in the morning? What does that look like in terms of taking care of all of these animals? And can you possibly do it on your own, or is it husband and family that help out?
Well, on a day-to-day basis, we do get up pretty early. Since we are an all-volunteer organization, we don't have any paid staff at all. It's generally me and my husband that are doing the morning chores, the feeding, the kind of, you know, day-to-day cleanup that needs to be done. So, you know, that's several hours every morning. And then it's the same kind of routine in the evening. You know, it's getting them all back in, all of our animals except for the horses, all our sheep, goats, chickens, ducks, everyone gets locked back in barns at night for their safety. So it's getting everyone back in, everybody fed, doing any other little cleanups, maintenance on the property that needs to be done, stuff like that. So it takes most of the day to do that. And then that's why we have work parties to do the big chores.
Gotcha.
You know, cleaning out the whole entire barn is a big feat. You're talking quite a few wheelbarrows.
Right.
So when we have more help out here, it just makes that kind of work go a lot quicker. And it's a fun environment to be out working with. All of our volunteers are wonderful people. So, you know, we have a good time doing it as well.
So the show is called Generosity Philosophy. And part of that concept is because there are so many generous people like you and your husband who do things like this to make the world a better place. And what is your philosophy about generosity? What thoughts, ideas, advice you have in general for people about being generous?
Well, and generosity doesn't necessarily mean a monetary
right.
thing, you know?
Right.
But I think in life, you're generally the happiest when you're doing for others. When you're not thinking about yourself or how it could benefit you.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of when you're doing the right thing, even though no one's looking and no one's going to praise you necessarily, but you're just doing the right thing and it'll make you feel better.
Right.
So, you know, we have generous volunteers that come out here, always so amazed about the nice and kind people we meet that come out here that want to volunteer. And like you, too, giving your time, doing the podcast, letting us tell people about what we do. You know, it's generosity, even though, yeah, if you're giving to others, you really end up giving to yourself, too.
Yeah.
By doing that makes you happier.
You, what is it, the saying? You get what you give. And I always feel like, doesn't it seem like it's tenfold, you
yeah.
know, when people
yeah.
give, and another word people use, regardless of your religion or belief, is like karma. You know, if you just always do the right thing and you give, and it comes back to you. I mean, I always feel that way. You know.
And I think sometimes the volunteers maybe don't even know, although we tell them. I mean, they might think, oh, I just gave 2 hours of my time. I just helped clean the barn. And they don't realize how much help that was.
You could sign me up for work party. I definitely want to come out here. When is the next one? You say every other Saturday.
Well, so, the 9th.
Okay, so the 2nd. So, the 2nd, yeah, the 9th. So, for those of you listening, you need to jump on www.greenacresfarmsanctuary.org.
Yes.
If that's tough to remember and you could spell really well, you can also go to generositephilosophy.com, in which I will have in the show notes pictures of the animals here and links to Green Acres Farm Sanctuary Facebook page as well as their website, so that you guys can learn more information about Green Acres Farm Sanctuary. So before we totally wrap this up, Tina, is there any upcoming events other than work parties? I know we just talked about the next work party is going to be November 9th. Is there other ways or fundraisers that we want to make people aware of?
So we are going to, our next fundraiser, we will be selling wreaths that were handmade here at the sanctuary and fresh cut Christmas trees off the sanctuary property. That will be the second Sunday in December, so December 8th from 11 to 4 at the sanctuary. You can check our website or Facebook. We'll have more about the event. But all the proceeds of that are going to go to Green Acres Farm Sanctuary.
So that would be out here in Silverton. They would come to the farm to pick
up.
It'll be
out here in Silverton. We'll also have kind of a self-guided tour set up that will give you information about the animals, and you can walk around the sanctuary. We'll have some hot apple cider, some popcorn, just kind of
sounds like a great time. So that is, as you mentioned, about 6-7 weeks out. So please go to www.greenacresfarmsanctuary.org, and I'm sure Tina will be updating the website to continue to promote that fundraiser. For folks who also want to see photos, they have great pictures at their website. And you can always go to generositephilosophy.com and see a recap of the shows that we do. And I'll always link to the websites and Facebook pages of the organization. So I will have a story about the tour and our interview today and some photographs and links to both your Facebook page, Tina, and your guys' website, so people can learn more about work parties, volunteering, the upcoming fundraiser, and how they too, like you, can start, if they haven't already, volunteering and helping make a difference too. So I just want to thank you again for your time. I know this is, we should take a picture of the setup with the extension cord from the barn, and hey, it worked out. I hope the listeners got to hear some roosters crowing and everything like that to bring the experience of being farm through the podcast. So thank you. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me.
All righty. Well, there you have it, episode number 3, in the books, Generosity Philosophy. Woohoo! Thank you guys so much who have gone on and listened to this podcast. I really hope that it is inspiring some of you to want to make a positive change in the world by listening to the stories of some of these heroes. And as I asked in my last podcast, please do email me at generositiephilosophy@gmail.com. Or go to the website and you can comment or find out a way to contact me through the Facebook page or, again, email. What I am hoping to hear from, I mentioned that I want to hear from quote-unquote ordinary people. All I mean by that is everyday people who do extraordinary things. And whether that's a random act of kindness, some great annual family tradition that benefits others, I want to be able to highlight and tell those stories on Friday episodes. So I ask anyone and encourage anyone, whether it's a organization, nonprofit, or somebody who just has a great story of kindness and generosity they'd like me to share on the show, I'd love to do that. So please do get in touch with me. And if you haven't already done so, it helps the show if you go to iTunes, subscribe, leave a comment, put a star rating on there. I really appreciate people doing that. It will help the show to reach other people and ultimately help these organizations and these heroes to continue to help other people. So why else are you here walking, living, breathing on this earth? Let's help one another, alrighty? And I really also encourage people, November 9th, Saturday at Green Acres, myself and family is going to be there, and I'd love to meet you. If you're here local and live in the Salem, Silverton, Staten area here in Oregon, please come out. Let's meet the animals that we talked about in this episode. I look forward to it. And I'll leave you with this quote. The greatness of a nation and its moral progress can be judged by the way its animals are treated. That's a quote from Gandhi. Thanks for listening, everyone. Till next time.